Hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter. Junie Riddle, Nick Keiser, and Connor Newts in the producing seat behind the glass. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME today. Hour number two. We just got done talking about CJ Stroud, and we wanted to get to a quick caller. We got David on the line wanting to talk about the Texans' rookie quarterback. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think about why the Titans thought he was so high? And also, Jared loved Richardson, and has he played yet?
So Richardson will play today, I believe, at the same time the Titans are playing, and they go up against the Buffalo Bills. And I believe, what was the second part of this question?
Well, I mean, you know, the Titans, it looked like they were trying to trade up to get Stroud.
Oh, yes. Well, I believe that's because of Vrabel and his Ohio State connection. Listen, Stroud looked good in college, and I appreciate the call, David. But
okay.
Stroud looked good at Ohio State, but he also had some of the best receivers in the game. You know what I mean? He had Jackson Smith and Njigba in 2021, and then last year, you know, when Njigba was down, he had Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, they're always stacked with wide receivers. So he's going to put up good stats. But what's he going to do when he doesn't have the best offensive line in his conference? What's he going to do when he doesn't have the best receivers? Because when you look at the Texans' wide receiving core, I mean, you can make the argument since the Titans got DeAndre Hopkins that they're the worst in the league. So
yeah,
it's a big difference. It's a big difference for CJ Stroud.
It's a huge difference. So we'll see what it ends up looking like. But Junie, I'm excited to get back into this series because – and quite frankly, too, like, this challenges me to think more about the NFL, which I really enjoy because I'm such a hockey savant.
Yes.
So it's good for me to get into things like this. But without any further ado, let's hop into the Kansas City Chiefs.
So the defending Super Bowl Kansas City Chiefs, we are starting with our AFC West breakdown. And again, for those that didn't listen last week, we just break these down. We're kind of highlighting the big topics with these teams. We're going to save our predictions, our full season predictions, for the week before the
yes.
NFL season.
And if you missed last week, too, please subscribe to the podcast, Riddle and the Reporter. You can go on any podcast streaming service, just to give a little plug there in case you want to play some catch-up here.
Yeah.
You can listen back to it, but Junie and I are now going to hop into the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, not a lot to talk about the Chiefs.
No, not really.
Because, you know, they're obviously the Super Bowl champs, Patrick Mahomes. The one thing that people are going to be talking about is the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
I like Kadarius Toney.
Yes.
First round pick for the Giants a few years ago, got traded to the Chiefs last year in the middle of the year. I think that he's going to be wide receiver one, and I think that he's going to step up in a big way.
Yeah, and it's so funny that the storyline has taken him this far to Kansas City, you know, seeing that he missed some games for being quote-unquote hurt last year. Now I'm sure he was hurt a little bit, but he sat out a lot longer than what people had anticipated him to. So that's going to be a good challenge, I think, personally, for him this year, is stepping up. And that's a perfect view to have on him, is he's going to have to be that top wide receiver because behind him, you don't really have too much depth. I do like Justin Ross. I think he's pretty solid.
I was going to bring him up.
I do like Valdez Scantling. Yeah, I thought he stepped up at times last year as well. But they always have a mix and match of just a hodgepodge of that wide receiver room. But then again, Patrick Mahomes.
He makes these guys look good. It honestly doesn't even matter
Not
who
really.
The wide receivers are for me. As long as Patrick Mahomes has time to put the ball where he wants to, he still has Travis Kelce as his number one option there at tight end. As long as these receivers have traits that Patrick Mahomes can use to expose defenses,
mm-hmm.
I think he will. But yeah. The one thing about this team that worries me is the defense. They lost Frank Clark, who had been, you know, their kind of number one edge rusher. They drafted George Karloftis. I always mess his name up. But he's a guy out of Purdue that was pretty good, first-round pick. He needs to step up this year because outside of him and being a first-round pick and his potential that, you know, we saw bits and pieces of last year. Mm-hmm. Chris Jones is really the only guy that scares me on the defensive end. Their linebackers, their safeties, their corners, none of these guys are necessarily guys that are super talented or elite players that can kind of take this Chiefs team over the top.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. Now, one guy that stands out to me when watching their games, at least, Junie, is Willie Gay. You know, he was someone that was taken in 2020. And when I've watched the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, he does a pretty decent job, I would say, playing linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he steps up at times. But like you said, there's not really that many elite guys on their defense that scare you necessarily.
Yeah, like Willie Gay's an average guy. Yeah, like he's good. Like he's not bad. You he's just not say, a bad player.
Yeah, you just go, he's a good ball player. You know, like that's the best thing.
He's but, meh.
Yeah,
he's meh.
And the thing is, you've also got the legendary coach there as well that helps lead both the offense and the defense. He's a very hands-on coach. He's a player's coach, if you ask me. But I think overall, this is going to be an interesting team to see on defense. We know what they do offensively, Junie, so I think we're pretty stand pat on how we feel about the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, you know, former Super Bowl champions, obviously they're the favorite to go back and win it all again. But we will see, because they have some competition in this division, and, mm-hmm. and a team that I think is really going to kind of push them, and that has pushed them in years past, but always seems to have some invisible barrier that prohibits them from taking that next step, is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep.
I look at the Chargers as the most well-rounded team in this entire division. I really do. Herbert just got the big mega deal. But when you look up and down this roster, they got talent everywhere. And I'm going to start with the wide receivers here. You know, they got Keenan Allen. He's kind of the old veteran, one of the best route runners in the entire game. Mike Williams is emerging as an ultra-elite receiver. He was dealing with some injuries last year. And then they drafted that kid out of TCU, Quentin Johnson, mm-hmm. that had an excellent season last year. Big-time jump ball, big-play receiver, has some top speed. Once he gets out in the open field, he's tough to take down. So this offense is looking really good. And not to mention this. Their left tackle, Rashawn Slater, missed basically the entire season last year. Guy out of Northwestern, one of the better left tackles in the league. That highly affected Justin Herbert last year, so he will be healthy and back. And this offense, in general, is just overall stacked.
They are. And a quick note, too, is just the amount that Justin Herbert has been paid. That alone made headlines. But also, what's more interesting to me about him is, can he live up to the hype that everyone's been giving him? And we all know what that game looked like between the Chargers and the Jags. So in the same breath, I have to say, Justin Herbert, he really needs to step up his entire game this year. I think it's fair to say
In the key moments.
But in the key moments, yes, being a clutch quarterback, for
yes,
sure.
Yes.
And one thing I want to go back to as well, Quentin Johnson – and I believe his teammate, Max Duggan, is also there as well.
But, yes, he is.
But Quentin Johnston, too, just to give this a note for background's sake, because he could be a bigger piece to the offense than what most people think. He had a dozen touchdowns altogether the last two seasons in college, so you can't discount that whatsoever.
You want to hear something funny? The Chargers actually play the Rams tonight.
So there you go.
So Stetson Bennett, the former Georgia quarterback, will play Max Duggan, the third-string quarterback for the Chargers, in a somewhat national championship rematch.
Yeah.
And where was the national championship this past year? Was it in SoFi Stadium?
I feel like it was.
They're going to be right back where they were.
Yeah, it definitely was. Connor's given the go-ahead that it was.
What was it in L.A., Connor?
It was in L.A., I believe.
From what I remember, yes.
So with the Chargers, you know, we know this offense is always been pretty good. But look at this defense as well.
Right.
Sebastian Joseph Day, I love the way that he plays against the run as a run stuffer on the D-line. But, they got a pair of edge rushers here. And Khalil Mack, who has seen better days, but he's still
a
very, very good player. And Joey Bosa, who's one of the more top-end elite edge rushers mm-hmm. in the league. And so I'm looking up and down this defense. You know, they picked up Eric Kendricks from the Minnesota Vikings. They released him as a cap casualty this offseason. He's one of the best coverage linebackers, off-ball linebackers, in the entire NFL.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Like, he can guard slot receivers. He is that fast and nimble.
Now, I like one guy that stands out to me, I'm not going to go over the same guys that you are just for time's sake, but Derwin James is always someone that I like to watch too on their defense whenever they're playing primetime games.
Top three safety.
He is so much fun to watch. You know, he's a guy that I kind of look at and I think of Kevin Byard at times when I am watching him. Not that they play, you know, too similar of games, but that they're both very pivotal and key factors on their own defenses too. And Asante Samuel Jr., you can't just not mention him as well. I do like watching him play as well. But, yeah, I think this is a really good defense to pay close attention to. Joey Bosa, you know, I think he could have a big season this year too. And like you said, those edge rushers are going to be huge. And Khalil Mack, you know, he was with the Bears. That's who the Titans are playing. And now he's over there on the West Coast. Hopefully he can make some noise, Junie. But I do like this Charger squad this year.
Not to mention J.C. Jackson, free agent from the Patriots last year, also dealing with injury. Asante Samuel Jr., he's a young guy that I feel like has potential to grow. So the Chargers, I think, have the most talented team in this division. It's all about whether or not they can actually put it together and get it over that Chiefs hurdle. But let's get to the Broncos and Raiders real quick. Starting with the Broncos, you know, Russell Wilson. And they got Sean Payton in the offseason to lead as the head coach of this team. This is really going to be all down to Russell Wilson because this Broncos team hasn't changed very much. They went out and got Mike McGlinchey and Ben Powers to beef up that offensive line. The defense is a little bit underwhelming. They got a really good secondary with Justin Simmons and Pat Surtain. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to Russell Wilson.
Absolutely. And as a Saints fan, I'm curious to see how well he can turn around this team. But like you said, it has a lot to do with Russell Wilson. Now, one other part that I'm very intrigued with, too, is their main weapons on offense staying healthy. Because that did really come back to bite them last year. They lost some key pieces last year. And so for Jerry Jeudy and for Javonte Williams, it's going to be pivotal and crucial that they stay healthy, but also the guys around them stay healthy too. And also Marquez Callaway's there too. I thought he was pretty solid. You know, looking back, he was with the New Orleans Saints, I believe. I mean, he sounds familiar enough to me. He went to Tennessee. I mean, I know that he's familiar from his college days, but that is something to keep an eye on as well is what, yes, he did play for the Saints. I had a brain fart there really fast. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do with all their weapons, Junie. But needless to say, I like their defense too. And, you know, Pat Surtain is always fun to watch.
Justin Simmons,
keep an eye on.
Tied for the lead in the NFL for interceptions last year.
Stud.
So it'll be really interesting. I think Denver's one of the most interesting teams because they got talent. Can Sean Payton get the most out of Russell Wilson and company and get the best out of there? Now to cap it off, the team that seems to be the prohibited team that's going to finish last in this division is the Raiders. Jimmy G is the big offseason acquisition at quarterback after moving off Derek Carr. And, you know, Josh Jacobs last year led the NFL in rushing. They got Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, but they really underperformed last year.
Yes, they did. They really, really, really did. And, hey, if it doesn't work out, you can always go to Brian Hoyer, right? Well, I don't know. We'll see what it looks like this offseason if those moves did pay off for them. But Jacoby Myers, you know, I think he's looking for a little redemption as well after being with the Pats last year. But also, too, a former Titan, Austin Hooper. I'm not sure how much they're going to go to their tight ends or not, Junie. But their offense, I think, is the biggest question mark for me, just in terms of what they can do on the field. But also Jimmy G, I think, has a lot of expectation on him, as does Josh Jacobs, quite frankly. You know, he has to live up to the type of season that he had last year. But on defense, too, I really like Max Crosby, but also Chandler Jones as well. I think that those two guys, you know, playing on the defensive end, that's going to be fun for them to see what they can do to get that defense going this year to get some big stops.
I'm glad you brought that up. Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, another good edge rushing duo there. It's really going to come down to, can the back end of this defense work? I mean, Marcus Epps, Mo Rigg. They got Marcus Peters, but, you know, he's really old. Nate Hobbs, like, some of these guys I've never even heard of on the back end of their defense, and it's going to be hard for them to stay in games because if you got Jimmy G and he's dealing with health issues, Devontae Adams, you know, he just got injured in practice. We don't know the significance of that just yet, but a lot of questions with this Raiders team. And I think when you look at the AFC in totality, you got to think that this is one of the worst teams in the conference. So it's going to be tough for them to put it together. They got some offensive pieces, but this offensive line is very underwhelming. You know, the health of the quarterback and some of the top weapons is very underwhelming as well. So I think they're definitely the favorite to finish last
they
in
are.
This division.
And you can't forget, too, they did add safety Marcus Epps. So he was someone that they added on their defense as well. He had 70 solo tackles. But like you said, just another typical player that you just add, not really anything to think about. But they had to pick up that little spot there for their defense. But look, it's going to be an interesting season for the Raiders in terms of can they even keep up. I think that's going to be the biggest thing to look at over there.
All right, coming up next, we are going to get into the NFC West as we continue to do our NFL divisional breakdowns prior to the season. We will get into that next. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser here live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. This week's Nationals Best Deal is CBD American Shaman. Get half off a $30 gift card right now to their Goodlettsville or Hendersonville locations at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. All right, we just broke down the AFC West. We are now going to get into the NFC West. And what other team to start with than the San Francisco 49ers, who went to the NFC Championship the past 2 years, but they have had one big issue.
Yes, they have.
Because they've had one of the better rosters in all of the NFL for the last couple of years, but the quarterback position continuously comes back to bite them in the rear end. This offseason, they go and get Sam Darnold. Trey Lance was injured all last year, and rookie sensation, the Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, took them to the promised land before he got a major shoulder injury in the NFC Championship against the Eagles. So, what are your thoughts about the 49ers and their quarterback situation, and how do you view them going into this season?
Well, I love it for the organization to be loaded there, but they need a direct plan. That's something that they are struggling to understand, I feel like, is, all right, you get Sam Darnold, you also got Trey Lance and Brock Purdy sitting in the same room. You have to ask yourself, who are we going to go with long-term? Because I was listening to an interview that Kyle Shanahan did the other day where he's diving into, you know, we kind of knew all along that Brock was going to be as prepared as possible to be our starter no matter what. And we always felt like he could start in games for us. If that's the case, go with him. Please just go with him.
So I heard a reporter yesterday said that he threw three interceptions in a practice. I don't know if it was yesterday or Thursday.
I think it was Thursday.
But, I mean, he's been struggling a bit. And maybe that was some him kind of catching fire.
Right.
Nobody knew who he was. He kind of came out of nowhere.
I think
so. But you
so.
Also have to put it into perspective that the 49ers had the number one defense in the league last
yes.
year. And a guy that was Mr. Irrelevant, I don't care how well he looked against other teams, it's going to be tough
the
in practice.
The biggest thing to consider about Brock currently, if you take away everything that's here around the quarterback room, is homeboy had to get UCL surgery. So you're looking at someone that's coming back from basically the same injury that baseball pitchers go through. It's kind of like I'm not a medical doctor or anything, but he has bounced back really quickly for an injury like this. So to see that he is out there and that they feel like he's going to start week one says volumes about him. But also to move off of the quarterbacks here super quickly, I really have liked Brandon Ayuk. I like to draft him in my fantasy if he is there sitting there.
Way to spoil your plans. Now I'm going to have to steal him off you in our draft.
I have backup plans, but I'm telling you right now, him and Debo tear it up. And also, at times, the guy that goes under the radar, he's not as talented as he used to be probably. Willie Snead is also back there at wide receiver. I feel like he can pop up at the most random times during a season and pop off. I've always liked watching him play. Yes, he was with the Saints. But at the same point in time, looking at even running back as well, We all know what C-Mac is capable of doing, and I have to call him out because he's our producer now. But this man traded me Christian McCaffrey the same night that he got dealt from the Panthers to the West Coast.
He was injury prone.
Injury prone.
With all due respect, he did missed the previous two seasons.
But he popped off for me and led me to victories. So I have to call out Connor here. It was a trade brought upon by him as an intern with
me. I got
me.
You this year, though.
Either way. So the way I view the 49ers this year is, yes, they have good talent at the receiver position.
Right.
Debo Samuel is one of the most versatile weapons in the league. Ayuk, like you mentioned, is looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell, great 1-2 running back duo. But they lost Mike McGlinchey in free agency. He was one of their better offensive linemen. I'm not sure about his replacement, Colton McKivitz. I'm not sure what he is. Obviously, they have Trent Williams, but everybody else is a huge question mark for me. So are they going to be as dominant up front? This defense, I mean, they look relatively the same. I think this defense took a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Javon Hargrave to add to this defensive line after the year he had with the Eagles last year is huge. Him and Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, they're going to go absolutely crazy. Not to mention this. You know, I brought up Eric Kendricks for the Chargers when we broke them down. You know, he's great at – he's kind of a one-trick pony as he's good in pass coverage. But you want to talk about the number one off-ball linebacker in the league? That's Fred Warner for the San Francisco 49ers.
He was where I was going to go as well. I was going to mention Hargrave, and I was also going to mention him as well. Fred is a stud. I love watching them play on defense. They were probably one of my most favorite defenses to watch last year. I think I actually had them on fantasy maybe. But regardless, they're always a fun team that – always pops off in certain given situations. But where do you want to go next? Because I'm really curious.
I want to go to one of the teams that I'm actually really high on this year, and that is the Seattle Seahawks.
Let's do it.
I don't think a lot of people are talking about this team.
And they didn't last year either.
They're stacked. They are a stacked team.
Offensively,
Bobby,
especially.
I would even say defensively as well. And I'll tell you why. So Geno Smith had a career year, 30 touchdowns, I think right at 10 interceptions, looked really good. Kenneth Walker III, when he came in last year, he looked explosive
and
amazing.
Yes, he did.
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, drafting Jackson Smith and Jigba to be that slot receiver. Man, do they look good on offense. They were already good last year.
They're going to be really nasty up there.
But you brought up a good point here. And you said, oh, well, the defense doesn't look that good. Well, they bring back Bobby Wagner.
I didn't say that they didn't look good. But, I mean, I was just talking about how the offense is going to definitely pop off. But, yes.
But their secondary.
No, it's the secondary is pretty
dirty.
Damn good.
Their secondary is dirty. Last year, Woolen, the cornerback, he was up for rookie defensive player of the year. He had six interceptions last year, right? He ran like a 4.3, like 6.4, and he plays corner. He's literally like a wide receiver out there playing corner. Then they draft Devin Witherspoon, who was my number one corner coming out this year from Illinois. They're going to get Jamal Adams back, Quandre Diggs. I think that four in the secondary is really, really good and not getting talked about a lot.
Yeah, it's not. And going into last year, they were phenomenal. And you are right. He did have six picks last year. Rick Woolen was awesome. And so as a rookie, he has a lot to expound upon after being a fifth-round draft selection in 22. So you love to see storylines like that, especially on defense, because they are I feel like even in my childhood growing up, they had a really solid defense.
Oh, yeah. Legion of Boom defense was sick. So, honestly, like, San Francisco is the favorite, and I'm not going to give any spoilers for our season breakdown. I got to watch some things.
Sure.
But Seattle might be in the mix to win this division.
I would agree.
So let's move over to the team that recently won the Super Bowl a few years ago in the Los Angeles Rams. I feel like this team is very interesting.
Oh, man, Stafford.
Has a lot of questions, and Matthew Stafford has to be number one because they've lost a lot on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, this defense used to be really, really stout, and now it's not looking so hot outside of Aaron Donald. But looking out here offensively, they still got a solid group here. The offensive line wasn't that good last year. They did a few things to beef that up a bit, but you still got Stafford, Cooper Kupp in company. Do you think this team could actually be in contention in this division?
I think if they get off on the right foot, maybe. But I also believe maybe halfway through the season, depending on if they stay healthy, because that was a problem for them last year. Aside from the Titans, I thought this was a team that kind of struggled being healthy last year. And I like how much they use Tyler Higbee, but also, too, Bryson Hopkins, who, by the way, that is a former Titan son that is playing for the Rams. And so that is always fun to keep really good track of. But I'm interested to see what they do here on offense a little bit, because Van Jefferson, I felt like at times, got relied upon. But then Cooper Kupp, the games that he did miss last year, when they went to Van, I thought, stepped up at times, but not enough. And running back was kind of a big question mark for them last year. I felt like they struggled at times to get that going. So they're going to have to establish one way or the other how they want to start games.
This team is going to have to go by how the offense goes. And yep. Matthew Stafford's going to have to step up. And one of these receivers will too. You mentioned Van Jefferson. I'm going to throw out another guy for you here. And that's Tutu Atwell out of Louisville. Mm. He's a smaller guy, but he's a speedster. He needs to be the weapon. They tried to implement him last year. He had some bright spots, but he also came up short a lot. No pun intended, because he is a smaller guy. But this team is going to go by the offense. This defense is really depleted. They don't have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. And if they're going to compete whatsoever, Matthew Stafford is going to have to come back with a vengeance. Cam Akers has to step up. I like how you mentioned our guy from WKU, Tyler Higbee. He's a big part of this offense. They're going to have to put up points and able to compete, especially in this division when you got the number one defense in the Niners. You have one of the top offenses in Seattle. They're going to have to put up points to compete with these teams.
And seriously, Tyler Higbee could be one of the guys that gets targeted the most.
Maybe, possibly. Outside of Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. I think those two and Van Jefferson, I think those are guys to keep an eye out for, just in terms of even fantasy too, just kind of thinking of what they can do. But Stetson Bennett is going to play later today, like you had already mentioned earlier. So that's going to be fun to see. But
correction though. We said the national championship was in SoFi. It was not. It was in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yep.
That was a misread on our part.
Yep.
We got some bad information, Connor.
Hey, that's
your first,
all right.
You got to verify these things. So either way,
it's all right.
Moving on to the final team. Team in the entire NFL,
and
it's the Arizona Cardinals
running around like he stole his candy from a baby.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, you know, tore his ACL in the middle of last year. I'm already low on this guy. I mean, will he come back in the middle of the year if this team is like 1-7, 1-8? I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's worth it. But up and down this roster, you're talking about a lot of guys that haven't stepped up, that draft picks that were missed. You know, some of their star players that are still here are trying to get out. Buda Baker has been requesting a trade, I feel like, for the last year. And there's just not a lot of things to like about this team when it did look really promising a few years ago when Kyler was in his first 2 years and they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. But ever since then, it's been downhill.
Yeah, it certainly has been. And they have just been going through so many players and their biggest positions. And look, I love James Conner. I know that you're familiar with James Conner.
Big James Conner guy. I like him a lot.
He might be someone that just needs to run the ball quite a bit, and they're going to have to run some quick passes, I feel like, this year. So I'm intrigued to see what they can do to try to be successful, Junie. But at the same point in time, their best offensive weapon in my mind, aside from James Conner, I want to say, is probably Zach Ertz. And even Zach Ertz
is old.
Is not the same tight end that he used to be with the Eagles.
He's old as dirt. This offensive line is really unproven. They picked up Dennis Daly.
They got Paris Johnson Jr. too.
They drafted him, but again, you know, rookie. We need to see a little bit. But I think this team is going to be up for the number one pick in the draft. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Kyler Murray and his contract. He's still got a few years left on that after getting re-signed 2 years ago. So they got a big decision coming up, especially if they're up for that number one pick. A lot of questions coming out of Arizona. But coming up next, we are going to dive back into the Tennessee Titans. We are going to be taking phone calls on what you want to see. What's the number one thing you're going to be looking for in this Titans preseason game against the Chicago Bears? 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Riddle.
Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter, Judy Riddle, Nick Keyser here on this Saturday morning. It is a Titans game day. We want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. What is the number one thing you are looking for in today's preseason game? A lot of battles, a lot of good matchups with the Bears. I think they're going to be playing at least some of their starters. Justin Fields will be in. So I think we're going to get some really good matchups to gauge where some of these guys are at and where some of these camp battles are. So I am going to start with J-Mill from Lebanon on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I just want to see Willis make better decisions and string at least a few drives together. For Levis, smart ball placement, no turnovers, at least one deep ball completion. I like that. I think that's exactly what we want to see.
Yeah.
We mentioned this earlier. We want to see Malik Willis make quick reads, quick passes, because he either likes to take off and use his legs, or he holds on to the ball too long in the pocket, waiting to make his read. And as for Levis, you know, he was a turnover machine in college. He made too many quick mistakes trying to make plays out of nothing when it wasn't necessarily, you know, needed in that moment in time. So I like that. Good text, J-Mill from Lebanon. So got another text in here from Mark from Paris. Where is Elijah Molden?
I was just trying to find more out about that. I was trying to see if we had, you know, an update from our friend Teron Davenport, who's up there in Chicago currently, and not really too sure what the game plan is for them today with Elijah. I'm assuming he's there, right? I would think he traveled with the team.
I mean, he just came out with a comment this week saying he wanted to play in the preseason.
So, I mean, that might be something we're not going to get to see much of an update of until the game starts, but
and maybe it was a last second injury.
Could be.
I know yesterday I was watching Steelers Buccaneers and I really wanted to see rookie cornerback Joey Porter Jr. and he didn't get to play last night because of an 11th hour injury.
Right.
Sometimes these things come up, so yeah, we definitely got to look in towards that. But for me, another thing that Mark from Paris mentioned, he wants to see the O-line play. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's number one. I mean, this has been the biggest topic throughout training camp is this offensive line going to open up? And I was on with Chase McCabe earlier this week, and I was talking to him about it that, you know, I think this offensive line is going to be better than what we saw midseason after all the injuries to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But going into the season, you know, with the guys they had last year, Ben Jones, Taylor Lewan, Nate Davis, going into the season, the offensive line was better than it is this year. Can we agree on that?
I would absolutely agree. And also another thing, too, is like you had mentioned earlier, and this is something that I'm encouraged by, is Peter Skoronski. And I would love him to play the majority of the game if they see the merit to doing that. Obviously, that's up to Terrell Williams and what Vrabel has laid out there, because this is going to be a very Calvinistic approach, I feel like, to the game, where Vrabel has met with Terrell and said, hey, let's do this and this and this. You just manage it throughout the game this afternoon. That's probably what's going to be more or less the case. And apparently Vrabel is going to be listening on a headset but not speaking through the headset unless he probably sees fit, which I think he might speak more than what he anticipates, if I had to guess. But I'm excited to see what some of the rookies do. You know, what guys that the Titans drafted, how are they going to perform under the pressure of just this entire game and preparing for the game? Because mentally, too, even going back to the kickers here with Shudak and Wolf, they're going to be judged mentally here. So that is going to be something to keep an eye out for, especially in this preseason game.
All right, we're going to go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got Wes from Hermitage on the line. Wes, how are we doing this morning, and what do you want to see from the Titans in their first preseason game?
Oh, good morning, fellas. So before I tell you what I want to see, I've got two questions for you.
Okay.
Both of you guys would say, right, that Will Levis and Malik Willis are both about the same at the time?
I'd say they're about neck and neck, yeah.
Okay. Would you also be willing to say that from their first year to their second year, from a rookie to a second-year starter or player, I guess, you see the most amount of increase in their talent between that offseason, correct?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So with that being said, if we go out there and Malik Willis and Will Levis look pretty close to about the same as far as skill set, except for maybe Will Levis has a little bit of a lip on him, I'm really excited to see how that plays out, because next offseason, whenever this big transformation takes place from first year to second year quarterback, how much further ahead do we think Will Levis is going to be ahead of Malik Willis?
I think that's a great question. I appreciate the call, Wes. It's always good hearing from you. Wes is a frequent texter and caller. I got to meet him at a remote a few weeks ago. So appreciate the call, Wes. But he brings up a good point here, and I think this is something that we can touch on. You know, if they are neck and neck, knowing that Malik Willis had a few starts last year with the first team, he's been in the league for a year, he knows what to expect. The fact that Will Levis is right there with him, does that put him over the edge? And for me, it does. Because if he's coming fresh out of college and he's neck and neck with a guy that has been in the league a year longer than him, knowing that he'll likely take a big jump in year two, that has to put him as the favorite to win the backup quarterback position if they do play similarly today.
I think you and I are agreeing in principle on what we would like to see from both of them, but also the expectation that you have laid out here is perfect for where they should be at in terms of their battle. It does not need to deviate so much more from that. But in today's game, we'll have to see if any of those results can change our mind as well.
But the only thing I do have to mention to Wes in his question is, you know, if Malik is with the twos and Levis is with the threes, we have to take that into consideration.
You do have to take it into.
And it'll probably take the duration of the preseason to really find out who is going to win this battle.
Absolutely.
If Malik is better, no matter how much I really want Levis to be the backup because they invested the 33rd overall pick rather than the 86 overall that they used on Malik, they put more value into Levis.
Yeah.
So if it's close, you got to go with Levis.
Absolutely.
But here's the deal. If Malik is better, they have to put him as the backup. You cannot throw Levis in there just because of the merit. He has to earn it. Also got to mention here on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, Ryan from Chicago says, uh-oh, Joey Porter, injury prone bust, hashtag Steelers got fleeced. Ryan from Chicago, I love you, buddy, but let's pump the brakes a little bit here. He's texting, trolling me, so I had to shout out the
troll. I was going to say, I saw that too, was going to go to it, but yes, I love when we get to pick on a little bit of the Steelers fandom, but that's okay.
That's okay. All right, either way, coming up next, we are going to look at the lines today. I know some of you degenerates want to bet on this game. We are going to pick the line of the Titans' first preseason game, over-unders, and talk about what we think is going to go down in our expectations to wrap up the show today. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter, final segment of the day. And now that sports are coming back, we are going to be bringing back a lot of our betting segments towards the tail end of the show. And I got to tell you, Connor, I was kind of worried about what music you were going to come back on, but you impressed me with this one.
I always am a little worried, too, because I did Preds games with this man, and he would always pick songs for the full highlight mix, and so you always have to consider what he might pick.
Hey, Frazier had Shane McMahon. I went Ted DiBiase. I had to throw it back.
That was the throwback. Listen, Frazier did Shane McMahon kind of because I threw that one to him. Because I do love the money song. I was a big Shane McMahon guy. I thought he was electric. But no, Ted DiBiase, and especially with that money title belt that he had back in the day, that was sick. Listen, you got to be one cool cat to, one, be able to make your own title belt, and two, to make it pure gold and have the money sign on it. But different topics for different days. Titans are set to kick off in a little bit over in an hour up at Soldier Field in Chicago. So let's get into some preseason betting lines for some of you degenerates, like myself, who like to bet on the preseason. So currently the Bears are 3.5-point favorites in today's matchup. I am going to go with the Titans to cover that spread. Okay. I think it's going to be a field goal game. The way I see this game kind of playing out, I think the Bears take an early lead. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields will be playing. Ryan Tannehill will not. So I see the Bears jumping out to a touchdown, maybe even a two-touchdown lead early on in this game. But I think the Titans are going to kind of get into a groove, kind of set up the run game against that Bears defensive front. And I think it'll be low scoring as well. I'm trying to pull up the over-under here, but unfortunately the Wi-Fi is really low. What's the over-under on the game?
So the over-under on the game is 37.5.
So, I mean, what does that kind of break down to here? Like, well, 18 points apiece?
Yeah, trying to, I mean,
I'm going to go, it's so close because I can see it being like a 20-17 game.
See, that's what I was kind of thinking, too.
I'm going to, listen, normally preseason games are low scoring. I'm going to take the under on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under.
I think I would also take the under. I don't know if I like 3.5 necessarily. Personally, for me, I'm not really loving that. I feel like we could see more of a team pull out in front, even though it's not a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
But I think someone could pull out in front and kind of just sit on it. It's the first game, and I feel like you just kind of – it's, you know, it's the KISS method for the first game of the preseason. So I'd be a little cautious if you are gambling. Just my perspective, I don't gamble often.
Yeah.
But that is what I would think of.
So, I need to mention this, and you mentioned this earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
P.J. Walker's their backup quarterback.
That's right.
I like P.J. Walker.
I do,
so
too.
You know what? So, you know what? I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. Oh, I'm going to change. I'm taking the over in today's game. Listen.
Wow.
We got some good backup quarterbacks in these matchups. A lot of guys trying to prove themselves, and especially if Justin Fields is playing. I think I actually kind of like the over in this game.
Okay.
I changed my mind. I saw P.J. Walker as the backup quarterback for the Bears. I'm going to a different route.
With that being said, I have to ask you this question.
Okay.
How many drives does Fields get then?
Mm,
if you think it's going to be over, how many drives does he get?
I'm going to say I don't think he gets more than two. If he marches down and they score a touchdown on the first drive – then I think he gets pulled. I'm like, that's enough. You got your look. You got your touchdown. The morale is high. Now go get into your shorts and t-shirt mm-hmm. and stand here on the sideline.
So,
but if it's like a quick three and out or something or something crazy happens, uh-huh. I think he gets a second drive.
So Connor, just to let you know really quickly, we usually go to our man behind the glass for these perspectives too. So what is your instinct feeling on the game tonight or this afternoon?
I am also going to say Fields gets no more than two drives. I feel like like Junie said, if he gets a quick three and out, if he throws an interception really early, I feel like they will go to him and say, hey, let's go get you another one.
Right.
But I don't think he is going to move outside of the pocket very much.
Okay.
I don't think they want him taking hits.
Nope.
I am really curious to see this Bears offensive line, though.
Yes.
Darnell Wright, former Volunteer for all you Vols fans, not
yep.
me, but, you know. I'm curious to see what he looks like. They have brought in a few other guys I want to see. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see this Bears offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really quickly, Connor, you know, you get to make your picks as well. So, the Bears are 3.5-point favorites. Where are you going on the spread? And you said the over-under is what?
37.5.
What is your instinct on the over-under as well?
I'm going to take the under. If I could bet.
Okay.
Legally, I cannot bet. But
oh, you're not. Are you not 21?
I'm 19.
Oh. Wow. He looks old for his age.
There you go.
And then on the spread, who do you got? What kind of game do you think this is going to be? You think the Bears run away with it with Fields, or you think the Titans kind of keep it close?
I think the Titans keep it close.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
3.5 is a tedious line,
yeah,
Connor.
It's a small line, but
it's between a field goal and a touchdown.
So,
it's right there.
Here's just a small tidbit that I find a little interesting. It might be because it's just the preseason, but every single game that's on Superbook, the spread is 3.5 on every single game.
Really?
Yes.
Is that just a preseason thing?
Probably, because the Colts and the Bills are 3.5. It's favored the. The Colts are favored over the Bills.
Is it in Indianapolis?
I think it is.
Well, maybe it's because they're putting their guys out there. You know,
yeah,
I doubt Josh Allen will play
because the Panthers are favorites over the Jets because they're all these, like, seriously, all these are 3.5 and they're all over under. Well, they're all in the 37-point realm. You have 37 even for the Colts and the Bills, but then you have 37.5.
Ooh, give me the over in that game.
For the Titans and the Bears, but also for the Jets and the Panthers, too. The only one that's 37 even is the Colts and the Bills.
So I got the double screens going in the living room. Last night I had the Packers and Bengals. I had Steelers and Buccaneers. Today I am going with the Colts and Bills and then the Titans and Bears simply because I want to see if this Anthony Richardson hype is real.
Yes.
I think that is going to be one of the more fun watches in the preseason.
You're right.
Simply because he's so athletic that I feel like he's going to make some kind of spectacular play in the preseason. Regular season, when he's going up against the big boys and these first team defenses,
mm-hmm.
we shall see.
Oh, yes.
I don't think he's ready. But preseason, I think he might be a human yes. highlight reel.
Now, I'm going to give this a quick shout out because we typically do go to SC really quickly. So NSC, they are going to the next round of the League's Cup. Last night was their largest margin of victory in team history. So they won 5-0. It was a phenomenal game. Phenomenal. Half of my shot hit because on Robbie and Rexford, I said that we would win or that I need to stop saying we and us. Golly, I'm calling myself out. But look, NSC, I was picking them to win 2-1. They won 5-0. But I did say Sam Surge would score. He did.
Good called shot.
He's also scored as many times as Ake Loba did in his entire time in Nashville.
And didn't he play for Monterey?
I believe so.
I think he came from Monterey, which is funny because now, you know, Monterey beat LAFC last night, which is good because
they came back, too.
Yeah, they were down 2-0 and they wound up winning 3-2. Sorry, 2-0. I know soccer fans, they get in a frenzy about that. But either way, if LA would have won, Nashville SC would have had to go out there for the semifinal game. But now Monterey is going to be coming to Nashville.
Right.
And if Nashville wins and Miami beats the Philadelphia Union, Nashville will host Lionel Messi in Geodis Park.
Right, and so here's the layout, too. That's perfect, Junie, so thank you for going there. If Nashville loses the semi, they will also host a consolation game. So if both Nashville and Miami have the same outcome on Tuesday night, Messi will be coming here on Friday.
Ooh.
Tuesday is important for a completely other second reason. So, top three teams in this tournament,
mm-hmm.
they will earn a spot in the 2024 CONCACAF Champions Cup. So, you will make another appearance in a separate tournament next year.
Which will be big because that's the big tournament with all the big yes. English and Spanish leagues and all that stuff.
Right.
That would be a huge representation of this city on that level, on a worldwide spectrum.
Correct.
I mean, that would be huge.
Correct, yes. But I wanted to throw that out there because we ultimately always go to that program and we talk about them. And so I will do my very best. We will even perhaps bring Frazier on if Nashville SC's tearing it up here at some point soon too. But I wanted to let you guys know about the boys in gold as well before we head off for the weekend.
We will be bringing Frazier back because especially if they win, I think we have to have him back on for the final segment, talking some Nashville SC next week. So hopefully they can get that win over Monterey. Hopefully Messi can beat the Philadelphia Union, who is a really tough team.
Yes, they are.
But if Messi comes in to Nashville, I mean, that's going to be huge. But that is all the time that we have. Like I said, the Tennessee Titans are going to be kicking off their preseason in just over 1 hour. So tune into that. We are going to have the full breakdown starting on Monday. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter, Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser. That is all the time we have. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy some football.
Peace.